Welcome to Animal Concerns of Texas. I'm Greg Lawson.
I'm Tom Linney.
And I'm Liz Walsh.
Here on ACT Radio, we discuss how we humans relate to other animals.
We talk about how we use them for food, clothing, and entertainment, and how there are humane alternatives to these practices.
And we also discuss why a plant-based diet is the healthiest for humans and the best thing one can do for the environment.
So if you're concerned about the environment, if you're concerned about the way animals are treated, if you're concerned about your health, stay with us for Animal Concerns of Texas. Coming up on today's show, we feature a conversation with Lisa Levinson, who's director of the Sustainable Activism Program of the group In Defense of Animals. That's a little later on the show, but first some news.
After vigorous lobbying by a coalition of groups led by the Animal Legal Defense Fund, the California Coastal Commission voted to do the right thing for orcas by conditioning SeaWorld's permit to expand the tanks at its San Diego facility on a strict requirement that the marine park agree not to add any additional orcas to the existing inventory. The special permit conditions, proposed by ALDF and a coalition of animal and environmental protection organizations, are necessary to ensure that the existing orcas already held captive in the SeaWorld San Diego tanks get the full benefit of marginally larger tanks. More importantly, the Commission's decision means that if SeaWorld decides to move forward with the Blue World expansion project, it will essentially be required to phase out the use of orcas for entertainment acts in San Diego. Securing the permit condition that could end captive breeding at SeaWorld San Diego is the latest victory ALDF has achieved in its extensive legal and legislative efforts to end the exploitation of orcas for entertainment. To learn more about the recent victory, visit ALDF.org.
Early this year, the Dietary Guidelines Advisory Committee offered some common sense advice to the Department of Agriculture, which is writing the nation's next set of dietary guidelines. The panel said Americans should be urged to eat less meat for the sake of the environment. The Dietary Guidelines Advisory Committee had recommended last February that Americans be kinder to the environment by eating more foods derived from plants and fewer that come from animals. Red meat was deemed particularly harmful because of the amount of land and feed required in its production. The panel said, "The evidence indicates that a dietary pattern that is higher in plant-based foods and lower in animal-based foods is more health-promoting and is associated with lesser environmental impact than the current average U.S. diet." The meat industry disputed this claim and the notion that dietary guidelines ought to consider the environment. Earlier this month, under pressure from GOP leaders backed by the meat industry, Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack and Secretary of Health and Human Services Sylvia Burwell rejected the Eat Less Meat proposal, indicating that the forthcoming dietary guidelines will focus on the immediate health aspects of food rather than how our food choices impact the environment. It's disappointing to see that meat industry influence in Congress and over the administration is more powerful than science and public opinion in the development of the dietary guidelines.
Wildlife Extra reports on a study that shows that removing wildlife from U.S. vegetable crops has not cut down on human diseases. A major push to keep wildlife out of farms began in 2006. It followed an outbreak of E. coli bacteria that sickened more than 200 people and killed five, and that was traced to raw spinach. Investigators eventually linked the bacteria to a farm in California. There, the same strain of E. coli was found in the soil, water, and feces of both wild pigs and nearby cattle. The natural conclusion was that animal feces must be behind the spinach contamination. Under pressure from retailers and customers, farmers began to remove wildlife from their fields. They put up fences to keep deer, pigs, and other animals from getting near crops and cleared nearby areas of trees, shrubs, and other non-crop plants, leaving behind bare ground. The changes worried conservation biologists working to preserve ecosystems and species threatened or endangered with extinction. One big concern was for pollinators, such as bees. To investigate the effects of the clearance policy, ecologist Daniel Karp from UC Berkeley and his colleagues examined data collected at a large farming operation over 7 years. As I mentioned, it was thought that disease-causing germs came from birds, rabbits, and other animals that wander in and near fields where crops are growing. Keeping animals out of the fields should therefore prevent major outbreaks of illness. But the findings of Dr. Karp and his colleagues, which were reported in the proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, were striking. Removing wildlife habitats such as brush, trees, and shrubs did not improve food safety. In fact, it seemed to increase levels of germs, not reduce them. Sampling for the germs began shortly after 2006 when the E. coli outbreak occurred. It continued as farmers evicted wildlife and their habitat from areas in and around their crop fields. This gave Karp and his team the chance to see whether the changes affected the levels of disease-causing germs. The scientists also sampled these germs in nearby streams and wells and used aerial surveys to map and measure how much wildlife habitat bordered the farms. They now report that removing wildlife habitat has not improved food safety. In fact, pathogen levels seem to increase. This is seen to be particularly true in crop fields located near grazing livestock, which suggests rainwater might have washed tainted cow dung into the nearby fields. Or it might indicate that removing habitat hasn't had the effect of stopping wild animals from visiting the farms. Karp and his team now recommend adding more wildlife to habitats to farms. For instance, they advise planting non-crop barriers between livestock and crops. These barriers, Karp explains, may clean and filter water before it passes into crop fields. Keeping livestock and wildlife away from shared waterways also could limit fecal germs from reaching crops. To learn more, you can visit wildlifeextra.com.
Coming up next on ACT Radio, we have a conversation with Lisa Levinson, who's director of the In Defense of Animals Sustainable Activism Advisory Council. She also organizes vegan spirituality meetups and retreats to explore veganism as a spiritual practice. And she will be the guest speaker at the Vegetarian Society of El Paso's Compassionate Thanksgiving Dinner on Saturday, November the 14th. You can learn more about our dinner and make reservations at vsep.org. Stay with us. Our talk with Lisa is next on ACT Radio.